Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. The Raven season is over. We'll be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery and GBMC here in 2026, but we will not be playing football in Baltimore next weekend. Luke Jones joins us now. We are in Pittsburgh. We were together. We will talk about weather and credentials and seating and fans and all of that, but there is plenty of football as the kicker missed a field goal after the Steelers kicker missed an extra point. Luke, I'll just throw the floor to you. I mean, it's going to be long off season. We're going to talk about Lamar. We're going to talk about John. But in the context of the game, certainly a winnable football game.
I mean, the Ravens are going to be thinking about this one all offseason, just like they were thinking about the loss in Buffalo last offseason, just like they were thinking about the AFC title game loss the offseason before that. I mean, you notice a pattern here. And the word that I kept coming to mind for me as I'm in the postgame locker room and hearing John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson and Tyler Loop, who talked and held court and did everything you'd want a rookie to do in terms of being accountable, and you feel for him as a human being, and all of that is just torment. I mean, if this weren't an organization that does have two Super Bowls to its credit over the last quarter century, it feels like they're the Boston Red Sox at this point in time, in terms of, or what we used to think of the Red Sox as being, in terms of just finding the most agonizing ways to lose football games and to come up short and to be disappointed. And there was a little bit of everything as far as Sunday night's game went in Pittsburgh. And you can look at the opening drive and the promise there, and then the offense kind of goes to sleep after that. And at one point, I even commented on social media, as many people were, in terms of it feeling like another one of those games where the Ravens were leaving Pittsburgh in the ball game. And then you get the big stop at the end of the first half, and you're saying, wow, what a big, massive moment, a massive swing for the defense. And they come out in the second half, Kyle Hamilton gets hurt, and the defense was absolutely atrocious. I mean, he gave up 23 points in the second half to an offense with DK Metcalf or not. That shouldn't happen. Certainly not, with DK Metcalf being suspended, and we saw what Pittsburgh's offense looked like last year. But even so, Lamar Jackson comes to life in the fourth quarter. Zay Flowers comes to life in the fourth quarter. You get this wild final 5 minutes or so, where it's just back and forth. And
This is a hell of a football game,
it
man.
was. I mean, it was. If it weren't a game that you weren't so emotionally invested in, you would say, man, what a way to end the regular season in the National Football League. But Boswell misses the kick, leaves the door open for the Ravens to win it there. Isaiah likely makes the incredible catch on fourth and seven, and you're thinking, wow, they're going to steal this football game. After everything that happened, they're going to find a way to win here. They're going to be playing Monday night against Houston. And then Tyler Loop, who we pointed this out, he didn't really get tested over the course of the season, didn't really have a moment to truly make a massive kick. I mean, the closest he had come was the fourth quarter kick in Cleveland, which wasn't a game winner or a game ender or anything like that. But we'd said at some point in time he was going to need to make a massive kick. And when it's in that spot, rather than week three or week seven or week 11, that's when you're kind of holding your breath a little bit. And that's where I get it. It was a longer kick. It wasn't as bad a miss, but that's where it felt very Billy Cundiff-like. And just like that, the Raven season's over, and all these questions are going to come and are here, and we're going to continue to talk about it. And we know there's going to be change of some sort. I mean, that's obvious. But how dramatic is it going to be? What exactly is it? To what extent does it go? We're going to find out. But this is, boy, I mean, just as agonizing as it gets. And but like I said, it kind of falls in line with what this franchise has been in recent years, and certainly what this 2025 team was. And at the end of the day, it just wasn't good enough. They weren't good enough on Sunday night, even if they came close and they made you believe at a couple different points that they were going to be good enough. They weren't.
I guess the game is where I want to stay because just
Mm-hmm.
in the beginning, we're going to have plenty of time to talk about John and Lamar and but just in a general sense, the play. And again, I was in the stands. I was in the corner of the end zone where the kicker missed the kick. The Steeler kicker missed the extra point. So I was in the Aaron Rodgers end zone, not in the loop end zone, which is a closed end zone. And I guess my thought most of the game was that the lines got pushed around again. And this is an ongoing problem for them was no pass rush, no offensive line. Really, whether it came to running the ball or protecting Lamar, they weren't really good at either one of them ever at any point. Maybe going back to the first half of the Buffalo game. But we're here, they're eliminated. We're in 2026, and we're still talking about the first half of the Buffalo game as how they could be dominant. They were not a dominant football team in any way this year. I like everything about them, that the mystique of Lamar, the mystique of the offense, the mystique of Derrick Henry. I mean, even the mystique of the defense, that's what the Ravens are. The Ravens are a defense franchise. I stand really overwhelmed by the body of work, but I think the Pittsburgh game's a microcosm of what the problems were, which is big playability. Can Lamar throw it over your head? Yes, he can. Make a mistake, Zay Flowers is going to get, and he did it twice. And shame on the Steelers for that. But just in regard to sustaining drives and finishing drives and red zone and scoring touchdowns, and I don't mean being dominant, just being consistent. It showed up again, right? I guess that's my thing is it showed up again. That we're not only talking about them being eliminated, but we're talking about Aaron Rodgers driving the ball down there on them after an injury. We're talking about an offense that didn't play well enough in this particular game. And I think that was the case all year. We're waiting for the offense to turn it on beyond, oh, Derrick Henry's going to run for 250 yards tonight because their defense is no good or because you have some competitive advantage against the defense to allow to get run on, bad run defense. That's not Cleveland, and that's not Pittsburgh to me. Like maybe the way it was a couple of weeks ago, or the way it's been. Pittsburgh sacked up. That's all. I mean, they deserve to win the football game, as far as I can that I feel about it. And they had drives. I feel like the Ravens kind of got lucky for the two touchdowns in the foot. Like they made a play. It was a big play. Whatever. But that's the way Lamar does things. And you're sitting around all night waiting for that phone booth moment. And I even tweeted after it. I'm like, well, that's Lamar. He can beat you. But the fact that I've witnessed this for a year and seen an operation that hasn't been very good based on the offensive line, but also the skill position players. I mean, I think everybody kind of. We were evaluating this 3, 4 weeks ago when we were kicking dirt on them. Remember that? We were kicking dirt on them last week because they were going to get eliminated. 4 or 5 weeks ago, like we've been kicking dirt on them several times when they got beaten by the Bengals and the Steelers the first time around. We looked at it and said, where's the consistency of the offense? And it just never happened. It just never happened for me.
No, I mean, it didn't. They were a mediocre football team. I mean, we've talked about that a lot. The numbers bear that out. You can look at the season in segments, right? I mean, they started 1-5. The very beginning of that stretch, the offense looked great the first couple weeks, right? I mean, in terms of putting up a bunch of points, but even then, there was a sense of it was dependent on big plays, right? It wasn't necessarily putting together these long drives. You think back to the Greg Roman years, where
Well, something that
that,
feels dominant. There's
yeah.
nothing about this that felt dominant, and there's nothing about anybody on the field other than maybe Kyle Hamilton that we look at and say, well, are they going to be better next year than they were this year? And that goes for Lamar too. I have that question, and you and I will fight about that for the next couple because we're fighting in the car at 2 in the morning on the way home because we legitimately disagree about Lamar and about where it's going with Lamar and what's going to need to be put around him and starting with the offensive line. But I Lamar wasn't good enough this year. I mean, that's a fact, Jack, period.
I'm not going to disagree with that. And look, I think a lot of that is that he wasn't healthy. I don't think that necessarily means that's what we saw of Lamar Jackson in 2025 is who he is moving forward. But yeah, you need him to be healthier. You need him to be a bigger part of your run game. The idea that, I mean, Derrick Henry ended up having a great finish to the year, but as you pointed out, and I pointed it out, hearing me nerd it out talking about success rate, right? And that their success rate running the ball was way better over the last month of the season, but we know over the body of work, it wasn't as consistent. The passing game, I mean, what was their passing game this year? Zay Flowers, right? Zay and kind of hope that something else emerges. Now, I mean, they got a great play from Likely. Mark Andrews here and there over the course of the season, but not consistently. I mean, Rashad Bateman was a non-factor after having a really nice 2024 season. So yeah, I mean, you look at the operation, and I don't want to say they were lucky in the fourth quarter. There were great plays made, but you're right. I mean, it was these quick strikes. I mean, look at their two touchdown drives in the fourth quarter. I mean, Zay catches the 50-yard touchdown. It's a four-play, 71-yard drive, right? And then Zay Flowers wide open, 64-yard touchdown, three plays, 73 yards, right? There wasn't, how many times this year would they put together a 12-play, 85-yard drive where it was just crisp, balanced? You ran the ball, you threw the ball. Like they did it. I'm not saying they never did
And
that,
finish,
but
and finish.
right. And finishing inside the red zone, we know how problematic the red zone was. It just wasn't a smooth, complete operation. And look, the offensive line was a big part, big reason why, right? I mean, their pass protection just wasn't where it needed to be. Their run blocking, while certainly better, but even on Sunday night, look at Derrick Henry's numbers at halftime, and then look where he was at the end of the game. I mean, at halftime, he was over 100 yards and he had next to nothing in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. I mean, third quarter, three carries, 11 yards. Fourth quarter, two carries, 3 yards, right? I mean,
He
and
was
some.
out there in some circumstances where they threw the ball. They decoyed him a little bit in the fourth
Sure.
quarter.
Oh, and they did a better job of that the last couple of weeks, finally, right? After weeks and weeks of us saying that, the idea that you automatically take him off the field on third down, even if it's third and relatively short, always felt counterintuitive. It never felt complete. And that's not to say the offense was horrible. I mean, we've seen some really bad offenses here in Baltimore over the course of the 30 years of the franchise. I wouldn't say this was a bad offense, but it was inconsistent and it wasn't complete. And it had, whether we're talking about the red zone, whether we're talking about lack of success on third down, just the lack of crispness with the passing attack, the lack of consistent options in the passing attack beyond Zay Flowers, and yeah, the play of the quarterback, I'll put that in there. I mean, Lamar didn't play at an MVP level this year, nowhere close to it. He's still, relative to a lot of quarterbacks, still really good, but not that great, incredible version of Lamar that last year we saw week in and week out,
Well, quite frankly,
2023.
what they're going to need,
Sure.
it's what this team's going to need to win, being built around Lamar. And
Yeah, I mean,
he doesn't need to be dazzling. But the first touchdown pass, breaking the tackles, feeling the pocket, throwing it over their heads. Kid next to me, I mean, obviously I had Steelers fans all around me in the stands, and I was talking to kid next to me. He was a nice guy. He had a West Virginia hat on. I mean, I had mostly nice people around me in a general sense, just in the stands. People were afraid of coming to Pittsburgh, but when the ball went over his head, this kid had been cheering hard all night. He was a good guy, wasn't obnoxious or anything. He looked at me. He's like, "That's just Lamar." I mean, they're
Well, I
dancing
mean,
in the end zone. He's like, "That's just Lamar," and I'm like, "Well, I mean, you're a Steelers fan. You've seen this for a decade now, right?"
sure. I mean, the effort in the fourth quarter was incredible, right? I mean that, but at the same time, the offense collectively, they have a 10-0 lead, and you're hoping. I mean, that was the formula, right? To have a 10-0 lead and then lean into the Steelers and the way that they were able to just lean into the Packers, or how they were. I guess they were kind of sort of doing it against the Patriots until they stopped doing it in the fourth
By the
quarter,
way,
right?
Aaron Rodgers was the better quarterback on Sunday night for me. Just in one game, who's going to win the game? Who's going to lead the offense? Who's going to make plays? He had no weapons. All everybody did last week is DK Metcalf him to death, and who's going to catch the ball? And he doesn't have this. He doesn't have that. I told you, man, we're going to look up. It's going to be 11 o'clock, and there's going to be a 3-point lead. I didn't know it was going to be a 2-point lead. That game had it all. I just thought it was a great, great. It was the best game of the year for me.
Well, I mean, in terms of entertainment value, I mean, certainly not the Ravens' best game.
No. I mean, just as a all-in playoff one and done, it was a
Sure.
very, very good
I mean,
football game.
I'm not
And
gonna, I'm not
we could
gonna.
sit here and say they came close to winning and all of that, but they weren't winning the Super Bowl. Neither one of the Steelers aren't winning the
Right.
Super Bowl
Yeah.
either.
I mean,
As I
and you
sit
said,
here in Pittsburgh and yell it out loud,
right. I think, in that, talking about it from that aspect, I mean, to me, it's two mediocre teams duking it out in a not so good division, and Pittsburgh won, right? I mean, it's not that much more complex than that. I don't think Pittsburgh was markedly better than the Ravens. I mean, Pittsburgh, their offense was awful in the first half, right? I mean,
And the
they
ball
couldn't.
went over their head twice in the fourth quarter to lose the game, basically, right?
Sure. But and you give Aaron Rodgers credit, and I'll give him credit, and it's also a lot of bad defense on the Ravens' part. And man, I saw the split. I think it was Warren Sharp who had the split of the Steelers' offense with Kyle Hamilton on the field, and then the Steelers' offense after Hamilton was injured. Which, keep in mind, he was injured what, a minute into the third quarter, but.
There's your MVP. When you take him off the field, you can't
That's
win. That's your
I mean
MVP.
not
And that was your MVP last week. You handed him the award, right?
yeah but Warren, and this is Warren Sharp's work, so I want to give him credit on this, especially when it came in, I think right after the game was over. But Pittsburgh's offense when Hamilton was on the field, 3.9 yards per play, 37% success rate on 38 plays. When after Hamilton was injured, 6.9 yards per play. So you go from 3.9 to 6.9 and a 60% success rate. I mean, just that was massive. It's not, let me be clear, that doesn't absolve the defense. I mean, there were times the Ravens over the years played without Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Terrell Suggs, and that didn't mean that the defense just has license to completely fall apart and not cover anybody. I mean, there were some of those third down conversions. There were a couple examples where they dropped eight in the coverage and guys were still getting wide open, right? I mean, it just not good enough. And we talked about that. I mean, I look at how the defense performed, Cincinnati game aside, with the shutout and the cold there, and then they deserve credit for that because I mean we know what Joe Burrow had done against them a couple weeks before that. But beyond that, let's face it, this defense hadn't really been trending in a great direction the last 5 weeks of the season. I mean, going back to the Thanksgiving night game against Cincinnati and what Pittsburgh did the first time. I mean, keep in mind, I mean, that was with DK Metcalf, and we were talking at that point about, oh, Rodgers, is he washed? And he's not throwing the ball down the field at all. And Pittsburgh came out and threw it over their heads multiple times, right? And we saw what happened in the New England game. And for all the talk about Derrick Henry in the Green Bay game, their defense was bad in Green Bay. I mean, they let Malik Willis look like not 2019 Lamar Jackson, right? So
Well, that's in the totality of the team. When we go to talk about them, nothing about
they're
it was
just
good
not good enough.
enough.
Well,
What
and
was good
special
enough on
teams.
Sunday night? The kicking game wasn't good enough Sunday night. I mean, the kicker wasn't very good at all. I mean, the kickoff part, forget missing the field goal.
That was an issue for him all year with the kickoffs. I mean, and look, it's a rookie. And this was his first true opportunity at a high leverage situation. I mean, it's funny. I was kind of going over it over in my head because obviously you're thinking about the memory of Justin Tucker, the kicker, the performer, the guy on the field, and how.
As well as Billy Cundiff and Matt
Sure,
Stover. I thought of Matt
sure.
Stover on Sunday
Oh
night.
yeah, no
You
question.
haven't had a lot
But
of kickers around here, man.
that's where I looked at this thing, and I was just, I was even talking with someone in the post-game locker room, not a player, someone else in the media, but someone who played at a high level, I'll leave it at that, played the game. And we were talking about the idea that, man, it just, and this, I don't think that, I can't fault the Ravens for this, but they just, it never came together for them to have a game-winning situation for Tyler Loop at any point in September or October or November or December. When in contrast, I think back to Justin Tucker's rookie year, he won the September game against New England. Remember the Torrey Smith, Torrey Smith mourning his brother, that game, the Sunday night game. He made a kick, whether he actually made it or not. Remember there was controversy. He made a game-winning kick in San Diego that year. I feel like he had one more in the regular season. And then my goodness, I mean, he made the biggest kick, still Ended up being still one of the biggest kicks of Justin Tucker's career in Denver in the divisional round. But keep in mind, up until that point, he had made some big kicks and he had won some games that year. Tyler Loop, just the opportunities didn't come in that way for him. So, man, you get this situation in week 18, and I know some people said the Ravens could they have run the ball again? Could they have gotten a little bit closer? Sure. And you can attest to this because you were in the elements. That was not a typical Heinz Field. I know it's Acrisure Stadium now. That was not a typical Heinz Field environment in the sense that those flags on the uprights were as calm throughout the
There
night
was no
as I've
wind. People were
ever
asking me if I
seen
was
them.
cold. It was cold out,
Ever
but it was
seen them.
not windy. It was not
Right. I
windy at
mean, it's
all.
there's always a breeze, and there wasn't. So I just look at that, and I don't say this to be mean. And look, I hope this kid gets an opportunity for retribution. I do think the Ravens need to at least bring in competition in the same way they did after Billy Cundiff missed the kick in New England. They brought in Justin Tucker, right? I mean, this is, it's going to be fair to see how he bounces back, but it was a 44-yard kick. In this day and age, I mean, especially in a world where we're seeing kickers now make 58,
Jacksonville.
I mean, my goodness, 58, 60. I mean, Brandon Aubrey down in Dallas, right? What he's done over the last 4 or 5 years. And I said this when Luke missed the 50, I think, what, the 56-yarder in the New England game when he came up short. I mean, that wasn't a good sign. I mean, right off the bat, again, it wasn't as bad of a miss as the Cundiff one in the sense that Cundiff, what, that was 32 yards, I think it was. And I
But
mean,
you
the
got to
Cundiff,
have the confidence of the whole
you got to
team that
make
when
it.
you're driving to
Got to make
that
it.
if the drive stalls, it's got to be an automatic 3 points. It needs to
Yeah.
feel that way.
Yeah. And he missed. And he missed. I saw again some people saying he could have gotten a close. I'm not sure if you get 5 more yards there that he, based on the trajectory of that specific kick,
Oh, it was
obviously,
going wide.
I mean, it was wide, right? I mean, it was wide right off the foot. So it's tough. I mean, I was a guy even in recent years talking about, you don't want to have to kick a lot of field goals. And that's true. Like, you don't want to settle for field goals, but when you have to, you got to make them. And that's where you look at this, and that's where it was just tough. I mean, we just did not, Tyler Loop did not have a body of work that, and it wasn't his fault that he didn't have those experiences, right? And we know he made one kick from beyond 50 yards all year. This wasn't that, but that was another, for me, not a, I mean, yeah, a red flag. I'll call it what it was. It wasn't, again, a ton of opportunities, but you got to make those. I mean, that's just the reality that we're not. This isn't Matt Stover in 1998, where a 49-yard kick was considered one of the longest kicks you're going to have to make. I mean, now that's just, a 44-yarder. I mean, that's, I don't want to say it's a chip shot, but it's not too much beyond what you would perceive to be a chip shot in this day and age with how advanced kickers have become. So, I don't want to pick on it. And let's be clear, there were a ton of other factors in this football game. But I can't sit here and deny that that wasn't a really massive failure. I mean, for him, for the special teams operation, and you got to make it. I mean, you just do. In the same way that had he made it as great as Chris Boswell is, and he's been one of the best
We'd
kickers
be
in
talking
football,
about him, wouldn't we?
we'd be talking about that, right? I mean, that's all Pittsburgh would be talking about. So it's tough when you have that specific job because you are on an island, kind of like an outside corner in man coverage, right? I mean, you're on an island, and if you get beat in that spot, and it doesn't look the same as, if a defensive lineman gets beat or an inside linebacker doesn't do his job. I mean, typically when they don't do their job, it doesn't necessarily cost you so dearly, but when you're in that spot, when you're a kicker and your team gets you down the field like that with, I mean, just a phenomenal catch, and just
They
phenomenal
made
play.
three or
I mean, it was
four
fourth.
really big plays in the fourth
Yeah.
quarter.
I mean,
And
it's
so did
fourth
Pittsburgh,
down.
but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the degree of difficulty and, third down plays, fourth down plays. I mean, it was fantastic. And, Pittsburgh did it as well, but I feel for him. I do. Because again, he didn't have, it's not as though he had made three game-winning kicks in the regular season, and this was, his fourth shot at it.
Well, you feel differently about it. I think in the immediate aftermath, and then you look at the season and the body of work and the mediocrity of it, it's a different thing when you miss the kick in the AFC Championship game because
It is.
your head coach is too stupid to use the timeout that he had. That
Yeah.
happened. That's not just more devastating, but that was a season when they could have won the Super Bowl. There's still part of this with all the hand-wringing
Yeah.
where you look at the injuries, you look at the ineffectiveness, you look at the body of work and say, yeah, this was the kind of team that was going to come to Pittsburgh and miss a kick to end their season because that had been their MO all year. Falling behind, blowing leads, no lead safe. Lamar throws it over their head. Now all of a sudden the Steelers are behind. Well, here they come again.
Yeah.
And there was never a feeling there that the defense had the ability to shut a door. You know, that if the thing had gone to overtime, if Boswell had made the kick and Loop had made the kick, that I don't know. It just felt like the Ravens were going to need one big play, that it wasn't going to be sustainable drives and finishes because that's just not who they've been. So they were going to need their kicker, right? I
Yeah.
mean, you know, in a general sense, they were going to need their kicker. And the whole thing just came up short. I mean, I just, I th that's the body work. Let's take a break. Luke is here. We're going to do shorter segments getting into the day and into the week. We have some locker room sound. Luke was in the locker room all night. Tyler Loop did speak. Nobody ran out the back door that I'm aware of. You know, I saw the Harbaugh stuff, and obviously Derrick Henry was sort of the last guy out, and there's going to be so much cleanup in regard to who's coming back, who's not coming back, starting with the coach, starting with where the owner is. By the way, the owner of the Indianapolis Colts is meeting with the media tomorrow. So she meets with the media in Indianapolis. I would throw out to Steve Bisciotti, whose organization locked me out in the cold and made me sit with Steelers fans on Sunday night for the third year in a row. It's disgraceful. I'm going to call it what it is. I'm going to talk about it on the radio. I'm going to make all of you sick of it because it's disgraceful. That being said, we'll take a break. We're going to talk a lot more football. Luke is here. He's tired. I'm here. I'm more tired because I was out in the cold all night on Sunday night. The Ravens are eliminated. We got plenty of things to talk about. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive and football. And it's baseball season now.